Well, it feels different to be introduced in that way here this morning. It's a blessing to be here, just sitting there and looking. You're not supposed to look, turn around in church really, but I look back a few times and it's just feel love in my heart to you all. It's just, you're still my people, and it's a blessing to be gathered here with you all this morning. It wasn't really planned earlier, but ended up being a number of, we're going to be gone, a number were sick, and it was going to be a very small group there, it seemed. And so we decided it might be a nice Sunday to have a free Sunday. And we were going to be down here over Saturday anyway, and so we just spent the night and stayed here. So, yeah, Brother Abner asked me if, to preach, and I think it was a few weeks ago, we were both in Dayton, and he was really, really trying hard to get me to preach there. And in his spot, and I didn't give in, and I felt like I couldn't do it twice, and so I agreed to seek to bring a message here this morning. So maybe we could kneel for prayer, those that can. Father in heaven, what a blessing to be able to be gathered together in this way, Lord, and worship you together, Lord. Thank you for the great God that you are, that you provide all that we need. You're all-knowing, everywhere present. Yet your heart is turned towards your people. You're a just God who will judge righteous judgment, Lord, and you will punish the wicked. But yet there's grace, there's forgiveness, there's help, Father, and you, you're approachable. We thank you for that. Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus that opens that way to you, that atones for our sins, that we can come to him and be washed and made white, and that the veil is rent, and we can come into your very presence. We thank you for that. Lord, we worship you this morning. Lord, we want to commit this next portion of time to you and pray that you would strengthen me and enable me to share what will be a blessing here to this dear congregation. We pray. Bless each one and meet every need, wherever people find themselves this morning, we pray. Bless Brother Isaac, he's down in Crossville this morning. Bless the service there, the Sharps, the Hoovers, and him, and who all else meets together there, we pray that you would bless that gathering there as well. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I very much appreciate those thoughts, Brother Simeon. And I would encourage you and all of us to continue to study God. We never rise above our view of God. There might be a better way of saying that, but as a church, we never go beyond what we view God. And so the more of God we know, the greater he is to us, the deeper we go, we plumb those depths of who he is, it affects our lives. And a wrong view of God will affect our lives. And will hinder us. And so it's I really appreciate that, Brother Simeon, and continue to dig in there and allow it to affect your life and allow it to spill over onto your brothers and sisters. Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." There's life in knowing God. You can turn your Bibles to John, St. John chapter 3. I'll share a message here with you all that I shared with the church there in Richmond a few months ago. And some of you were here that were there as well, and hopefully it won't be too repetitive. It's been a few months now. But I believe it's an important message, important truth. St. John chapter 3. Put my title here on the board, and then we have 3 points that might kind of help you to follow along. I guess you should capitalize your titles, right? Is this spelled right? It's easy to misspell when you're up front. Okay. He must increase, but I must decrease. So let's read here. It's just, it's John the Baptist's words here in John, St. John chapter 3, verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So the words, he must increase, but I must decrease, there in verse 30. That's what we want to focus on this morning. And this applies in our own spiritual life towards God, right? For God to use me, for God to use you, I have to be on the altar, right? I must decrease. I must die to self. Self has to be put on the cross for God to use us. He has to become the Lord of my life. And I have to become a lowly servant. Not my will, but thy will be done. So it applies in our own personal life between me and God. He must increase, but I must decrease. It also applies in the church between me and my brother. What did Paul say? Let each esteem the other better than himself. You know, for relationships to work, we have to honor our brother. We have to put others first. We have to share, as we heard in the children's lesson. We have to let others go first. We can't go grab the biggest piece for ourselves. We have to prefer others above ourselves. It also applies in our marriages towards our spouse. If we're going to have godly marriages, if we're going to have healthy, wholesome marriages, we have to have this same kind of honoring one another in our marriages, or else things fall apart. And it applies in all relationships. This is a very, very important attitude in church. I want to primarily focus this morning on the brotherhood. Because as I was pondering this this morning, I just thought about a book that we recently got. My wife got one at Ollie's or somewhere, a book on... It's called the Day the World Went Nuclear. It's basically about the atomic bomb that was dropped on Japan in the World War II there. And, you know, the atomic bomb was a horrendous thing. It was, you know, not only is there a massive explosion that kills and wipes out and makes barren whole acres and miles of land and cities, whatever's there, is completely annihilated. But also, even afterwards, there's poisonous gases and toxins that kill people and destroy people for months afterwards. It's just a horrible, horrible thing. And I think, you know, this thing of jealousy and envy in a brotherhood is like the devil's atomic bomb on a church. I mean, nothing, I say nothing, I think it's probably true, nothing, very little will kill and destroy a brotherhood like jealousy and envy. And if we can't live this in our brotherhood, the church will go down. We'll die out. Where envy and strife is, James says, there's confusion in every evil work. And if so, if these little seeds of jealousy and envy and me trying to push myself forward and feeling ill at him because of how he's being honored or whatever it is, his giftings and, you know, all these things begin to work and fester, it'll destroy like very little else will. It'll be like an atomic bomb on a church. Very little will kill like jealousy and envy. You know, Lord willing, in the future, there'll be ordinations here, right? I believe the elders need other elders to work along with them. And, you know, some may be ordained, but many, you know, others will not. And our attitudes during those times are very, very important. It's a perfect time to practice this, right? So it's a very, very important attitude to have in church. So here, going back to our passage here, we're going to go through this and pull out various truths out of here, principles, as we go along here and just look at different keys out of some of these verses. But here, you know, this scenario here could have been a perfect recipe for strife. I don't know if you follow that. I'll explain myself. Here you have two, wasn't Jesus and John, you know, as far as earthly relationship, weren't they cousins? Weren't they? I think they were. So here you have two cousins, very, very similar in age. One's probably a few months older than the other one. And they both have their little ministries going on, right? You know, John's over here baptizing, and he had a big ministry. Actually, his started before Jesus did. And, you know, it's just that there's droves of people flocked out to John, were baptized. And there was a time, you might say, in a carnal sense, his ministry was really booming or flourishing, wasn't it? I mean, the people were flocking to the Jordan River to hear this man, clothed in camel's hair, preaching a fiery message. And John's message, his ministry was just really going. He was baptizing people by the hundreds and thousands, it seems. But then Jesus started a ministry as well. And then all of a sudden, there was this here happening. People were leaving here and going over here. And you know, it was a perfect recipe for jealousy and envy and all that between these two cousins, right? It was a perfect setup for it to happen. It didn't happen, thankfully, but it very, very much could have. It seems like, you know, while John walked in purity in it all, I think some of the other people were affected by it. It says here, some of John's disciples came to him in verse 26 and says, "Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth." You know, earlier it says, John in verse 23, John was baptizing in Anan, and now here Jesus is baptizing, and John's disciples are getting concerned because it seems like that John's ministry is waning and Jesus is growing. And they come to John and says, "Now all men come to him." And John, he just walked through it so beautifully. And we'll get more into that here later. So it was a perfect setup for envy and jealousy to come in, but it didn't happen. You know, John was older, right? John was older. Now this younger one here, he's passing me up, right? That can be difficult. That can be difficult. When a younger one passes me up. You know, it can come in to as simple things like your fellow minister, more people go to him than they go to you, right? They seem to like him better. And these little things can start festering in your heart. And God help us to walk there as John did. He must increase, but I must decrease. Wrath is, in Proverbs 27:4, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? And I've said this before, but you know, when a man blows his top, you know, he you know, it's fearful, it's scary, you know, he's out of control there for a few minutes. But then he kind of gets it out and it's kind of done, over with, and then things kind of settle down. And yeah, there's damage, it's terrible. It's, you know, God help us if we have those sins in our life of anger and wrath. But there's something that's worse than a man blowing his top and throwing his tools and yelling and shouting and his veins are bulging and he's just out of, there's something worse than that. And that is this subtle thing that you don't know it at all, but there's these feelings of resentment, and they fester and they work, and you're jealous, and you don't appreciate that brother anymore, and this thing works in your heart. That's worse than blowing your top. And you see that with Saul and Jonathan, no, Saul and David. Saul and David, and how David, a younger upstart, passed him up. You know, people started liking David more than him. And there was this, his countenance fell towards David, and he began to plot his death. And he actually, this didn't work, then he tried this, and that didn't work, then he tried this, and to where he was actually beginning to throw spears at David to try to kill him. And they ended up chasing him like an animal in the mountains. Are we happy to see our brother pass this up? Are we happy? Am I happy? Am I happy? Do we have something that we have to protect? Do we have something that we have to, image to keep up? That I got to be in charge here. Or am I happy to see God's kingdom advancing? Am I happy to see more laborers gathered up and more work being done? You know, I appreciate what Abner said, you know, just here blessing you all for your, you know, that's the right attitude, you know, to see gifts being developed and God's kingdom grow and more laborers being raised up. That should be the heart of a truly godly brother. I've said it before, the story of our ram and buck, but it fits in here so well that I'll go into it again. I'm sure some of you did not hear it. But a few years ago or so, there we had both a billy goat and a ram, which is a male sheep. I'm sure you know that. And we had both of those in one pasture, and they worked together just fine. It wasn't a problem. They were both there. And that's just kind of how it always was for them. They didn't know any different. But then a family borrowed our goat, yeah, the male goat, the billy goat. Borrowed him, and he was gone for a few weeks, a month or so, and then he came back. But while he was gone, it seems like that our ram really enjoyed being in charge. The buck was gone, like, you know, now I'm the king of the meadow here, and he really, I guess, he crowned himself king of the pasture while the goat was gone. Before, I think the goat was more or less the dominant one, and it just, the ram was okay with it, but he made himself boss when the goat was gone. Anyway, the day came, the goat came back, and when that ram saw that goat come back, it was not a good thing. He felt threatened. He felt threatened. His position now was threatened. Now I'm no longer going to be in charge, and he had something to defend. And did he ever defend it? He did. I mean, hour after hour, he was after that goat. He was bigger and heavier, but the goat was more agile. And the ram had these little horns that were, I think someone tried to dehorn him at one time, but it didn't. These little spurs were growing out, and he hit the buck several times, and he broke those things. There was blood coming down across his own head and down across his neck and shoulder. There was blood on the goat too, from where he was hitting him occasionally. Goat started limping a little bit, and so we were getting worried, like, this is not going to be good. But the ram was just puffing so hard, he was pretty overweight. He was a lot heavier. And he kind of started calming down a bit, and it seemed like that they were going to maybe be okay. So evening came on, and he was still chasing them around, but it was, you know, seemed more low-key. And I checked him on at night, and it seemed like they were settled down. And so what I think happened, I don't know, this is an assumption here, but I think that the ram realized he couldn't get him out of just, you know, he couldn't get him by chasing him down, and eventually gave up. And we thought everything was fine. And that's what wrath does. Wrath, you know, it goes on for a while, and you finally quit. But then I think this, that there was still jealousy and envy in the heart of that ram. And it was all hidden. Everybody seemed like they made up. All seemed good. But I think underneath, he was plotting. And we thought, oh, everything was fine. Until, I don't know how long it was, maybe a week or so, we find our purebred Nubian billy goat that with spots and all that we really liked, that we went and bought. We found him dead in the corner of our barn. And it looked like he had been thrashing and everything. And so we don't know what happened. But what it seems like happened, and after that day, that ram had a real wild look in his eyes. He was holding his head up, and he was just walking around there all, I don't know, something was different about him. And so we think that he plotted, and he found him at a weak moment in a corner, and he just took him out. That's all we can figure out. And that's what jealousy and envy will do. It's subtle, it's hidden, it's down in there, and yet it's devilish. It's devilish. It's of the pit. And it's completely void of charity. And instead of appreciating my brother, there's this evil, devilish thing that's at work in my heart towards a brother that I should be appreciating. It's a sobering example of what jealousy and envy can be like and how it's so destructive. But John said, he must increase. You know, he's baptizing more. That's great. I'm happy. There's no problem here. I want it to be that way. My joy is fulfilled. Jesus said that humbling ourselves is the way to be exalted. So my first point here is be willing to be a nobody. Now, what I mean by nobody is not that you're completely worthless, but be willing to serve in hidden ways. Be willing to serve, you know, just a small task. Be willing, you don't have to be in the spotlight. Be willing to just serve in a lowly way. Be willing to be a nobody. John said here, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. And, you know, John, he realized that this here happening was of God. It was part of God's plan. He simply had a role to fill for a time. He served it with his whole heart. But when the time came, he just passed it right on to someone else. And he submitted himself to God. And he was willing to be used this way or to be used this way. He'd had nothing to defend. Be willing to be a nobody and serve in a hidden way. Be willing, as John did, to see someone else being raised up and yourself sort of set aside. That can be painful. That is painful. It's hard for someone who was once used of God as popular as John was, but John, he passed it with flying colors. If God is raising someone else up, praise God, the laborers are few. Let me get my thoughts together here. You know, one thing that can happen here is when someone else is passing us up, we can be, it's so easy to begin to criticize, right? And all of a sudden we have these real spiritual burdens that people be mature, you know? I'm just concerned about that brother. That you know, there's some needs in his life, and maybe there are some. I'm sure there are some needs in his life, but you know, the motive behind that often can be pride in my own life. You know, he's passed me up, and then so I point out those faults in order to try to bring him down and make myself look good, so I look better. But often at the root of it are those critical, judgmental things. There's often at the root of it, not always, there's often the root of it is pride and jealousy. So I believe if there's things about a brother that just rub us the wrong way, that irritate us, you know, it's one thing to have a real honest burden and a concern. It's another thing to act, where these things just eat on us and bother us and just, you know, if it's that type of thing, I believe it's the root of it is pride and jealousy, as opposed to a real concern. And where you go to him and say, brother, I just like to share. If you think, I appreciate you, but I have something to share here with you. It's a different attitude than critical, judgmental things where you tend to talk about others and seek to bring someone down. John said that he's only a friend of the bridegroom. You know, Brother Peyton is getting married here in a few weeks. Is Tanner going to be at your wedding, brother? He ain't. But if he would be, if Tanner would be here at Brother Peyton's wedding, do you, you know, and people, you know, people are honoring Peyton, people are here because of Peyton, and, you know, people share things about Peyton, and, you know, Brother Peyton is kind of the center of the day, right? He and Eva, right? If Tanner would be here, would Tanner be critical? I mean, would he be feeling kind of left out? Or would he just be happy? What do you think, Peyton?
I think he'd be happy.
He'd just be happy. He'd just be happy that Peyton has got a good wife. He's just been happy that God's blessing Peyton. He's just happy that Peyton is going forward, that there's all the support, and that he's just here with everybody else, just want to bless Peyton and see Peyton prosper. And that's what John says. John says, you know, the friend of the bridegroom is not jealous because the bridegroom's getting attention. And that's the heart that we should have. He says, my joy is fulfilled. I'm not the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom. He has a bride. It's not about me. It's about him. And my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. What a beautiful attitude to have. What an example for us with our brother. A true friend is happy to see his friend get married and doesn't mind if the day is not about him. There's a story of a mayor that, and I may have told this before, I forget where I'll say things, but some things make an impression on me, and I think about them then at certain messages. He must increase, but I must decrease. There's this mayor that was voted back in again because he got a lot happened when he was in charge, when he was the mayor there of that certain town. And a lot happened. A lot got done. There was a lot of work that got done. And but it wasn't so much because he did all the work. But there was a critic of him that said, you know, he doesn't do much. He just knows how to work other people. And I think that's a good thing for us as ministers to seek to see those gifts, see those potentials, and to not have to necessarily be the one in charge, but to ask others to lead out here, ask others to lead out there, and to utilize the body and get it functioning, working together. It's another way that, it's a way of exercising humility in not being the one that has to do it all, but rather utilize the gifts of the body. I think you all do well here with that. To see others raised up, and maybe he could even do it better than me, and that's just fine. God bless you. You did a good job there. In that, you know, thinking of this attitude in towards our walk with God, I believe that if this attitude of He must increase and I must decrease is not in our life towards God, we won't be able to walk it out with our brother. You know, if my son is having a difficult time submitting to me and honoring me and yielding his will, do you think he's going to play nice with his brothers and sisters? No. If he's in defiance towards his parents and his will's not in subjection, is he going to share his toys? Is he going to fill the basket nice and full? Is he going to give treat others how he wants to be treated? Not at all. And I believe the same is true in our lives. If there's not surrender, if there's not yieldedness in my life towards God, I'm not going to be able to walk this out with my brothers and sisters. Self must be crucified before I can, and Christ must reign in my heart before I will be able to walk this out with my brother. Not my will, but thine will be done towards God. And then in the brothers' meeting, you know, this is how I see it, but I may not see it all right. You know, that attitude will come out then as well. You know, I would prefer this, but I'm willing to hold it with a loose hand. This is how I see it, but let me see how you see it, brother. And the ability to work together when there's surrender in my heart towards God. Okay, point number two, that first one was be willing to be a nobody, be willing to be surrendered. Number two now, be more aware of my own needs. Be more aware of my own needs. What I find in my own life is so easy for other people's needs to become greater and me to be pretty blind to my own needs. I share that as a confession. John clearly saw his humanity. Let's look here in verses 31 and 32. John says, verse 30, "He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony." So John realized that he was earthly. And I think if we in our own lives can really see the earthliness in our own lives, it helps us a lot to esteem our brother better than ourselves. Instead of pointing at all the earth in his life, if we're keenly aware, painfully aware of my own need, of my failures, it gives us much more patience and grace with others. It's very helpful when we have when we clearly see our own failures and shortcomings. Amen? It's so helpful. But when we lose sight of it, it's not good. John was very aware of how much more superior Jesus was than he. And so when men flocked to Jesus, hey, it was no problem. It should be that way. It should be that way. You know, I'm this earthly man, and he's the one that baptized with the Holy Ghost with fire. They should be going to him. He pointed men to someone coming who was greater than himself, and he simply saw himself as one preparing the way for someone far greater than he. And remember that he was older than Jesus. He was older, but yet he was happy to pass on the ministry to Jesus. You know, I've been blessed. I think it's okay to say this here. I've been blessed with Brother Leonard. You know, Brother Leonard could, if he was carnal, he could pat himself on the back. And, you know, because I believe Brother Leonard played a very key role in many of the churches here in Kentucky. But he's not aware of it. You know, Leonard sees his own needs. He sees where he's failed. The times he's failed stand out to him. And he doesn't look at Blessed Hope as something that he did. And I think it's good. That's how it should be. And, you know, that's how God wants us to walk, where we're more aware of our needs and failures than we are of our successes. It's helpful when our mistakes stand out to us. It's painful. It's painful for me when I feel like I just had a fail. You know, I just missed it there. I didn't mean to, but I missed it. Those things are painful, and it can kind of affect us. You know, if we dwell on too much, it can affect us negatively, depending on what it is. But it's helpful when our mistakes stand out to us more than our successes. You know, pride. If I struggle with pride, if you struggle with pride, it simply lies you're believing about yourself. It simply lies I'm believing about myself. There's plenty of need in my life. There's plenty of need in your life. If we really see it, to help, we just realize we ain't got it together. You know, we had nothing to boast of. You know, pride is really a false, inflated view of who I really am. If we struggle with pride, it's because we're believing lies. We're full of needs and failures. If we don't see them, God help us, we're blind. And where this comes in here is when I don't see my faults and failures, but yours really stand out. And then it's hard to walk in this attitude, right? It's hard to walk esteeming my brother better than myself. It's helpful when our mistakes stand out to us more than our successes. The Apostle Paul, the great apostle, the one who wrote more of the New Testament than anyone else, and probably most of it too. I'm not sure how that would be, but probably so. The great apostle Paul, the one who labored more abundantly than all the others, the one who wrote most of the New Testament, he had a lowly view of himself. And it wasn't because he lived in sin. No, I'm not advocating sins and failures. I think we should seek to be sanctified in all areas of life and seek to be more and more conformed to the image of Christ. But we all have weaknesses and things that God wants to show us and keep us to continue to work on. But the Apostle Paul said, though he wrote most of the New Testament, though he labored more abundantly, though he was probably the greatest missionary that ever lived, he says, and last of all, Jesus, he was seated of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul, he didn't, there were some things that he just couldn't forget where he blew it. There were some things that he just couldn't get past where he failed. And he didn't have this inflated view of himself. He saw himself as the least of all the apostles. He had this attitude of John the Baptist that he must increase, but I must decrease. So yes, to be willing to be a nobody and serve in a lowly way and to be more aware of my own needs than those of my brothers. And the last point here is just kind of the opposite of the first of the second one there. See the good in others. See the good in others. We see it here in John the Baptist. He says here in verses 33 through 36, he says, he that hath received his, and it runs through the whole passage, but it says here, he that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. For the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. To John, Jesus was far above. Jesus was way better than he was. Jesus far surpassed him. He was of God. John was of the earth. Jesus was from heaven, and he spoke the words of God. He had the ability to give everlasting life to people. And John, just that was what stood out to him compared to his earthliness. You know, our brothers are not perfect as Jesus was. They're also earthly, right? They are. But the Scripture still commands us to esteem the other better than ourselves. And that is very key in maintaining healthy relationships in the body and keeping out jealousy and envy. The Scripture says in Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. So in our minds, we should put our brother above ourselves. And if he gets more phone calls, and I'm sure Abner and Andrew are not jealous over phone calls, right? But if one is appreciated more than the other, or it seems that, you know, it can seem that way, right? If it seems like you're kind of being bypassed maybe someone is not even ordained, seems to be like they're kind of, people are going to them. We need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our hearts. And just be thankful that God is raising up laborers and honor preferring one another. God bless you, brother. I appreciate how you're serving in these ways. You know, doing that can help to kill the thing, right? If these things are eating and you, this evil's trying to come in, the scripture says we should overcome evil with good. And to go and just bless that brother, go and bless him and appreciate him. And it can help to overcome those carnal, wicked thoughts that want to come. And honor, preferring one another. Both John and Jesus did this, right? Both John and Jesus did this to each other. This thing of seeing the good in others. Didn't they do that? They did. John says, I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. Think about that. I'm not even worthy to be a servant. You know, who would be the one to untie sandals? You know, that'd be a lowly servant. John said, I'm not even worthy to do that to Jesus. That's how much greater Jesus is than I am. John says, I baptize with water, but he baptizes with the Holy Ghost with fire. John saw Jesus much superior to him. But Jesus also did it to John. That's just beautiful. I like that. Jesus also affirmed John. Jesus blessed John. Jesus spoke highly of John. And I like this. I think this is a good recipe for us in maintaining healthy relationships to be able to affirm and bless the other. I had to go both ways. Jesus said of John, he says, among those born of women, none's greater than John the Baptist. You know, Jesus spoke, he didn't, though he was passing John up, he didn't look at John scornfully. No, he spoke well of him. He says, there's not been a greater prophet than John the Baptist born till this time. Jesus even went to John and asked John to baptize him. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. Jesus went to John. He honored John by going to him and asking John, John, would you baptize me? You know, what an honor. What an honor. To his cousin. Though he knew he was of God. Jesus also said he was a burning and a shining light. Speaking of John. Just that attitude is beautiful, that of blessing. That's what kept the jealousy from happening here, is this attitude of blessing and appreciation going both ways. If there be any consolation in Christ, this is Philippians 2, verse 1 through 3, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, and we know they are. The answer to those things is yes. If they are, then Paul writes, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing, brothers and sisters, nothing, zero, nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Nothing. But in humility, esteem the other better than yourself. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So when we can, when one or both can do this, see the good and bless the other, it'll eliminate strife. When either one party or both do that, it'll eliminate strife. So bless, affirm, encourage one another. Appreciate the service you see and overcome evil with good. So yes, in conclusion, be willing to be a nobody and serve in an unnoticed way. Be more aware of your own needs and see the good in others and bless them for it. But because it's very, very important that we keep out the envy and strife. It's worse than someone blowing their top and throwing tools. It's deadly. It's devilish. And it's like that atomic bomb that'll just wipe churches off the map. So. May we, God bless you, and may we all esteem one another better than ourselves. He must increase to God, also to my brother, but I must decrease.